Welcome, everybody, to yet another Psalm session. Here we are. We're all by our lonesomes this time because we did a little special thing on location. So today, joining you, you've got me. It's Miles, and I'm joined by...
Hey, it's Brent here.
Hi, Brent. Yeah, we had a pretty fun one with this podcast. We're doing it in a couple segments because earlier this week, we had the pleasure of going to Emma's back porch, seeing our buddy Chris Chambers, and... doing some on-location recording.
Yeah, always a pleasure being out about in the community, and definitely Emma's is a spot that's been a huge supporter of Sound of Music, and we love spending time there. And you're right, today we are all by ourselves.
That's a great segue into something that I need to talk to you about, Brent. Yeah. This is not in our... I'm going off script, because This is something that we need to talk about, okay?
I love when you go off script.
This is important.
Yeah.
They have found aliens.
In Burlington?
Well, I mean, probably. At Emma's back porch on some given nights. Yeah. It's possible. No,
Sorry, Craig.
No, they haven't actually found aliens. But I heard this on the radio, and it worried me a little bit. And I'm going to talk to you about it. Scientists at MIT have found a signal that is coming to us from a faraway land. But the crazy thing is, this signal is a repeating signal. Every 16 days, it repeats again, and they've analyzed it to say that it sounds mechanical in nature. This worries me.
Was there ever really a man on the moon? That's my next question.
Ooh. If you believe they put a man on the moon... Man on the Moon.
R.E.M., one of my favorite bands.
You hate R.E.M.
Oh, I don't hate anybody.
No, I'm worried about the whole alien thing. I think they're coming now. I think this is it. They're signaling us. I don't know how a music podcast gets into aliens, but we're here.
Nor do I. That's completely out of left field. Left field, just for your education, is part of a ballpark where they play baseball. I know you're a big sports
guy. Now we're going to segue into... Yeah, you know what? So recently our credit card was compromised, which was a big thing that happened. It was...
How was that trip to Boston anyways?
Yeah, well, this was how we found out was the credit card had a big old huge Ticketmaster fee on it. And upon further investigation, we found out it was tickets Celtics versus Lakers.
It was.
In Boston, purchased in Boston. I was off the hook very quickly because as soon as I found out that the charge was Celtics versus Lakers, I had to look at Brent and say, what sport is that?
Yeah, there was that. Also, I think you accused me at a time or three about possibly purchasing some concert tickets of some kind as well.
No.
Unsubstantiated.
We're 3 minutes in. You might as well just say who I accused you of buying
tickets
for.
Well, you're asking me about my little beads here, right? So these are these are actually called redhead beads.
Redhead beads. Brent, Brent wears a lot of beadery.
Yeah. Big bead guy.
He's a big bead guy.
Big bead guy.
Yeah, no, I did. I accused Brent of using the company credit card to buy Sammy Hagar VIP tickets, but he didn't. He's off the hook.
Well, I did buy tickets, but not with our credit card.
No. You know what, though? Shout out to Ticketmaster for once, because while I was trying to get this whole thing sorted out, all I had to do was call them and say, like, I didn't buy that. And like 10 minutes later, they were refunding those tickets. So
yeah.
good on them.
Yeah,
there's not a whole lot I like to say about Ticketmaster.
Let's not even go down that road.
No.
I think we'll deal with that a little later in the show when we're talking about some upcoming tours this summer.
Yeah, we will. So, you know, on that note, upcoming shows, Live on the Lake.
Or LOTL, as I like to call it.
LOTL.
Yeah.
It's going to be a LOTL fun.
It's a LOTL fun, indeed.
It's a LOTL fun. So Live on the Lake, the previously named Sound of Music kickoff concert, now Live on the Lake, featuring Sum 41, Third Eye Blind, USS, Barnes Courtney, and Corey Marks.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
That's a heck of a lineup. But, you know, I'll tell you, we all have been sometimes criticized by folks of, you know, being a little too... pigeonholed and being in one genre of music and, you know, that 90s dad rock thing, which, you know, frankly, I mean, if the audience is there and the demand is there, then it warrants. But what I really love about this lineup in particular this year is I feel like it really is a something for everyone kind of day.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, it's cool too. Like you look at, well, Sum 41 right now is out on tour with The Offspring. They sold out their entire Australian leg of the tour in 2 hours. They're doing huge numbers, huge concerts. Third Eye Blind actually just put out a new album, and it is, like, very good. Very good.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a little bit of everything old is new again, or however that saying goes. And I think those two bands are great examples of some bands that have had some great success back in the day, quote unquote, but their music is still relevant today.
And, oh, yeah.
You know, they're picking up some new audiences. They're obviously selling, as you mentioned.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I think, again, we can't underestimate the quality of talent and, you know, world-class musicians that, again, this year we're able to bring to Burlington. It's it's pretty awesome.
It really is. And, you know, like I said, we've got USS that are kind of a mainstay in this part of the world. Everyone loves USS. That is just a high-energy, exciting show.
Yeah, we've been joking a lot lately, you know, this little syndrome of you hear a band name, and you have a quizzical look on your face, and then you do a little bit of research and do the, oh, I love that song, yeah, and that song, and that. And USS and Barnes Courtney, actually both of those for me are really not previously high on my radar. I don't associate you know, a lot of their tunes immediately with the band names. And, you know, both of them, you start Googling up some tunes, and you're like, yeah, I love that song, and that one, and that one, and didn't really make the connection that song went with these artists. So,
absolutely.
You know, having done that now, I'm actually more excited than I was before to hear a little bit of these guys in June.
So Barnes Courtney, I'm we'll probably get sued because I'm playing his tunes in the background here.
Don't you have to? Anyways.
Yeah. So you know, this is Barnes Courtney, and I'm only going to play a couple seconds here because that's what we're doing. Now, I had the pleasure of going to the Barnes Courtney show at Mod Club in Toronto this past summer.
That's a great venue.
Oh, man. Yeah, this show was, like, aside from the festival, because I'm contractually obligated to say that it was my favorite, aside from the festival, Barnes Courtney might have been the best show that I saw in 2019.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're back again to this whole notion of an artist as a performer, a complete performer, and not just for the music. And, you know, obviously he's a great example of the music obviously holding up on its own, but you want to have an experience. You want to see a performance. Yeah. You want to see a show.
Yeah.
Right.
And this guy was a show that he blew the roof off of the Mod Club.
Yeah.
The main area, I think, holds about 350, we'll say.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it's a pretty small spot.
It was elbow to elbow packed, and people are just losing it. So, you know, Sarah and I, we managed to get up onto the balcony, and we're watching from up there. And yeah, Barnes, like, his energy is through the roof. The songs that you know that are just regular spins on the radio, you take the energy of that song, amplify it by 10, kick the speed up double time, and he was all over. It was so good. Like, obscenely good.
Just for fun, because I know you love when I do this. do you want to know who I've seen at the Mod Club twice? Twice.
Oh my God, is it Sammy Hagar?
Yeah, it was.
What? Actually, how did I guess that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll tell you, the first time was with his little side band supergroup, Chickenfoot, which was Michael Anthony, Joe Satriani, and Chad Smith from the Chili Peppers. So you imagine seeing those four guys in that venue.
Yeah.
And then a couple years later, it was actually during Canadian Music Week in Toronto.
Nice.
I was at the Mod Club for our old friends Taking Care of Business.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And guess who got up on stage with those guys was Sammy, who was also in town and ripped through a couple of tunes that night, too.
That would be a pretty cool venue to see an icon like that. You know, Mod Club, you can pretty much reach up and touch the artist.
You can.
Like, please, everyone, don't touch the artists.
No.
But they are right there.
No touching.
So, yeah. And then, you know, Corey Marks is this up-and-comer kind of country rock. You know, I keep calling him a rock star with a cowboy hat. But he his energy is amazing. And I think he actually brings a really cool opening vibe to the show. Like, he's going to set the tone for the day. And I think he's going to do it really well.
Yeah, him for me is, you know, I kind of think of the guys from Black Mountain Whiskey Rebellion in 2019, last year. You know, it's that sort of gritty, rough, you know, country rock edge. And just cool. It's
absolutely
cool. Yeah.
So, you know, on that note, talking about a gritty, amazing edge, Chris Chambers. He's like the least gritty guy you'll ever meet.
Chris is my best friend now.
I feel like he's going to appreciate being called gritty. I don't know why, but I feel like he's going to like that. No. So,
yep.
Yeah. So what we want to do now, we're going to jump on over to our live recording from a couple of days ago, where we had the pleasure of sitting down with Chris Chambers, and he told us a little bit about what it means to be Chris Chambers. Here we go. All right, we're live on Facebook, and ladies and gentlemen, we are here at Emma's Back Porch recording this edition of the Psalm Session, Sound of Music Session. Joined here with me is, of course, my partner in crime, Monsieur Brent Kinnaird, who's for some reason messing with a boom mic in a way that makes me nervous.
Hey, everybody, how we doing?
We're doing great. Hey, Brent, who's joining us today?
We're here with another amazing local musician on the scene. We got Chris Chambers with us tonight in the house at Emma's.
Hey, Chris.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm okay.
Good. Now, we are live on Facebook. I'm hoping you can hear us.
I have to look at that.
We had some technical issues tonight, so if you can't hear us on Facebook, just watch, pretend like we're having probably the best interview that you have ever seen.
Well, you can see us. We look great.
We do. We do. Yeah. We really do. Chris, so first of all, I need to commend you because you started off your set at Emma's tonight with me and Julio down by the schoolyard. And it resonated with me.
Oh, good.
Because every single time I've ever done a pub gig, which has been about, it's been like 8 or 9 years since I've done one, I always lead off with me and Julio
Look
down by the schoolyard.
It's a great tune.
And I've never heard anyone else do it. So it made me really happy
good.
That you're keeping Simon and Garfunkel alive.
Very much.
I like that.
Very much.
So, Chris, what we want to do with you first, because we got to get you warmed up into our interviewing state.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So Brent and I are going to fire at you a couple of rapid-fire questions just to get you loosened up and ready to rock, all right?
Sorry.
Did he say a swear word?
Live on
Facebook?
That's okay. We can edit
sorry,
that.
Sorry.
And also, the answer to every question is Van Halen.
Yeah.
Yeah. See how quickly he catches on.
Hold on. I got Michael Burns.
Hear us?
He says he can hear it.
Okay, good.
He can hear it.
Thank you, Michael Burns. You've made my day. All right, so we're going to hit you with some lightning round Q&A, and this is the joys of doing this live.
It's all good.
So we're going to hit you with some lightning round Q&A. We're going to get you warmed up, then we're going to dig into the real meat and potatoes.
Okay.
So we're going to do, one? Yeah. All right.
So let's start with the easy ones. What's the best concert you've ever seen?
That's like a three-way toss-up.
Three-way?
I've seen Stevie Wonder a couple times. I saw Prince, and I saw Bowie.
Wow.
And well, you know what? I could probably keep going. Like I saw B.B. King. I know, but I can't. I'm not that simple.
Chris is not a rule follower.
We'll just say, I don't know. We'll just say Stevie Wonder because he's still alive.
Stevie Wonder. Okay, Brent, go.
So let's go way back into the archives. What's the first live show you ever saw?
It was at Gage Park in Hamilton. It was Kim Mitchell.
Love it.
It was awesome.
Kim Mitchell. That would be a good one.
It was so great.
What's the first album you ever bought?
With my own money or with...
stolen money is
my
fine. Your parents' money.
Or
right,
whatever. Yes. I remember I got a...
you acquired
the first money. Tape I think I bought was one of two. It was Bryan Adams.
Nice.
It would have been the Robin Hood one, but then I got Reckless and Waking Up the Neighbors. And before that, there was a California Raisins thing I remember I got for Christmas when I was
California
really young.
Raisins.
On vinyl. And I had, because I used to do
That's
the vinyl
amazing
thing.
Amazing that you just brought up the California Raisins. I love that.
Buddy Miles.
Fully loaded question here. Who is the most interesting celebrity that's not Miles or I? Most interesting celebrity you've ever met?
Oh, geez. Jamie Petrie.
Oh, wow. Jamie. He's probably watching.
Hey, Jamie, is he watching tonight? I love
All
that.
Right, this is going to be a controversial because you're live on Facebook.
Oh, no.
Fill in the blank. Taylor Swift is blank.
Super talented.
Oh, wow. Good
cool.
Yeah.
So the Marvel film series is a big thing right now.
Yeah.
Invisibility or super strength?
Super strength.
Super strength.
Yeah.
That's an uncommon answer.
Well, it's because you could accidentally still get hit by a bus if you're invisible. Like, if you're not paying attention, you're still susceptible to death.
Safety first, folks. Yes.
Ah. That's the second safety time I've heard a reference first to getting hit by a bus tonight.
Ah. That is true.
Yeah. Who's your first celebrity crush?
Sigourney Weaver, Ghostbusters,
oh,
I think.
Oh, amazing.
Her or, I don't know if I could get into it, the two chicks in sorry, okay, from RoboCop.
From RoboCop.
The Coke party in RoboCop.
Yeah.
So one of those two.
That's awesome.
I got that reference, 100%.
Thank you.
Yeah, so if anybody knows me on Facebook, they see that I have this thing called a hashtag Cabo Countdown. Cabo San Lucas is my happy place.
Right.
So give us a word in Spanish.
El Humidor? Is that one?
I don't know if
that's... That
that'll
that
do
one
in a pinch.
We'll take it. Okay, we're going to just do a couple more here. I want to pick out one of my favorite.
Yeah.
If you could erase any album or band from history, who would it be?
There's a... that's a long list.
It's a long list. See, now when Jamie Petrie was on the show...
Okay, what was his answer? I'll just talk to him.
He said none. He said every musical band and album deserves their place in history. That's what I said.
What's something I hate?
My answer was Spice Girls. Everything Spice Girls
got. Well, you know what? There was still some level of songcraft in a lot. Like, I take heat for this from friends once in a while. Like, all that Backstreet Boys stuff that... The writing is great. Like, the presentation of it is silly and hokey and cheesy and all that. It's a marketing thing. But a guy named Max Martin wrote, like, all those tunes are great. Like, whether the guys doing it or, you know, think what you will. I don't know what I'd erase. That's tough. The list is too big. I had the opposite problem Jamie has.
All right, Brent, hit him with your favorite.
Sorry.
Let's ask him some meaty questions.
Yeah, okay, so let's go the opposite way. Who would play you in the movie of your life?
Oh, geez.
And don't say Jamie Petrie.
Jamie Petrie.
Morgan Freeman, just to confuse people, the entire
movie.
Confusing.
We'll think about that later tonight.
Yeah. All right, so we're here at Emma's Back Porch. Chris Chambers is playing live here tonight. There's also a game going on, so I guess you're like juggling in and out of the game.
That's how it goes. I take a back seat to hockey.
He found out that we were going to be here hijacking his night last night when I sent him a message on Facebook asking if he knew we were going to be here. His answer was no, but he's being pretty cool about it.
Oh, that's fine.
So, Chris, there's a couple of things as I was cyber stalking you that I'm pretty interested in.
He does this.
I do.
All right.
So you are a musician.
Yes.
You are a producer.
To some degree. I try not to throw that one around too much because I know real producers that are really good.
I think I counted about 14 times that you named producer in your bio.
Really? No,
yeah. I didn't. Or twice. Yeah,
okay. I didn't write it anyway, so it's fine.
Nice.
No, I reserved producer. Producer just kind of made it on there because eventually I produced enough of my own records and some stuff for some other friends and that, but it's lowercase producer, put it that way. I hardly put myself in the bracket of the real guys.
That's what I want to talk to you about, though, is the lowercase producing. Yes. So, you know, there's just so many good, amazing, talented musicians that are trying to find their way of breaking out into the world. And, you know, we are getting into a day and age where producing your own stuff is getting, I won't say easier, but it's getting more accessible.
Absolutely. Accessible.
Like, what's it been for you producing? Tell me about kind of your producing experience.
Well, it's great because it's no different than learning another instrument, really. Like, it's like you could spend a lifetime just learning gear and learning, programs and stuff like that these days. I've been lucky that I got like some really, really heavy sort of senseis in that world that have helped me out with a lot of stuff.
Like Chris Petrie.
Like Jamie.
Jamie Petrie.
Tim Tickner. Huge took my producer chops, if you want to call it that, my engineering stuff to another, like in a very short time, got me happening with all that stuff to the level where I would confidently produce and engineer my own stuff in a very short time. My buddy Craig Lapsley, who's who I recorded my first two records with, great engineer, great, you know, as well as like it's just buddies like Paul Inson, who's a buddy who, you know, I call them up and they're kind enough to make time to show me how to do some shit. Sorry, that's twice. Sorry.
Okay.
I won't do it again.
We're going to go heavy on the edit feature.
I'm so sorry. I'll edit it for you. How's that? I'll edit those out.
I know we at the table know, but for those that are kind of listening in who are these young up-and-comers and everything, when you talk about producing versus engineering, kind of talk to the difference.
Well, it's kind of become one and the same these days. Is like, because like so many modern,
someone's fired.
So many modern recordings and big albums are really down to the engineer cutting and pasting and stitching a lot of stuff together. I don't know that the role of producer is evolved much, or maybe the role, I can't tell if it's the engineers become more important, which that's kind of where I lean toward, or if the producers become, you know what I mean?
It's all
become sort of one mixed bag of skills, I guess, in modern, you know, home recording and like much smaller studios and smaller budgets too. That's what's kind of pushed that. It's like, well, do I hire a really great producer and a really cheap engineer, or do I hire a really great engineer and sort of work through it with him myself? So yeah, that's my thought on it. Because most of what I do is sort of insulated in my own world.
Yeah.
I don't have that expense. So it doesn't really come across to me the same way it would like you say, the younger kids trying to figure it out.
And we had Abby J. Hall on the show a while back, and she was talking about like this accessibility to like things like Spotify, where you can upload your own tunes.
Right.
I could go record something right now and throw it up on Spotify in 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And these younger...
You make no money for it.
You'll make none at all. This is an interesting one when it comes to the money-making side of the business, is there's so many young, we'll say emerging artists that are out there, and ones that are just starting out. We've seen some with the festival. We do some work with the YMCA and their Battle of the Bands. And,
right.
You know, you'll get these kids that they're often represented by a parent and the momager.
That's dangerous.
We've had some doozies. But, you know, they all, everybody believes they're going to be a star. And with the accessibility of Spotify, especially Spotify, because like I said, I can record a song right now and upload it, and it'll just get put on Spotify.
Yeah. Instantly, you're an artist.
I'm an instantly published artist. But, you know,
I guess that's how you view it. It depends on how you view the word.
Exactly. And this is kind of what I want to talk to you about. So when you're producing pieces, whether it be your own singles or working in, and I want to get into some of your collaborations,
when you're
collaborating or producing or working on your own pieces, like what, you've got a final product, you love it, you're happy with it, where are you going with it?
Well, that's just it. It's a glorified business card.
Yeah.
That's all it really is.
Yeah.
And like, yeah. You got to be happy with it yourself. If your name's going to go on it in any capacity, be happy about what it is. But it's out there in the world. And if anything becomes of it beyond the 0.0008 cents you'll make on streaming stuff, then great. But, you know, it's one of those things. You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
Yeah.
No one's going to hear it, or no one's going to care.
No one's going to pay for it.
You know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, sure, it's on there, but what good is it, you know, if you're, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So when is a song done for you?
Good enough.
Good enough. I like that.
That's the old motto.
Was there a moment where you knew, kind of in your journey as an artist and as a musician, where this was a path for you and you knew that this is what you were wanting to do? Did you stumble?
Like just music in general?
Yeah.
I was always kind of there. Like, it was never not a thing. I don't think there was ever, like a lot of people probably, what do I want to be when I grow up? I never really had that.
So was music in your house? Was music
in
your family?
Yeah, but not like in a, like nobody played, but there was always, we listened to every Shania Twain record together as a family. No,
sorry, all you're hearing is Shania Twain now. We have no say.
She's a full disclosure, Shania Twain is not playing at the Sound of Music this year.
No.
There was always music happening in the house, always records and always stuff like that. So it's the same old story. Everybody, you know, if your parents are into cool music, it's the one time like sort of the trickle-down effect actually applies to anything ever. Is that, yeah, I like that song, you know, whatever it was. And just the time that I grew up, was like in the 80s, which was expensive music, as I call it, where you know they spent $10 million to produce, you know, stuff like this. Or like, I mean, this is obviously not the 80s, but like Tina Turner stuff and all that Steve Winwood stuff and Steely Dan, all these things in the 80s were super expensive. And they sound like it. And so I got hooked on that stuff pretty early. So Don Henley, a lot of the Don Henley stuff from back then. So, yeah, it was always, it was a good time to grow up and hear really cool, you know, I'll say thick sounding recordings and all that. So
what I love too, just listening to your first set here was, you know, you're playing such a diverse range of music. We were just talking before we started recording here. You know, Chris kicked off with Me and Julio Down by the Schoolyard, like a Simon and Garfunkel B-side, one of my favorite tunes by them. Like, I absolutely love that song.
Great tune.
You know, you've got everything in your set. You've got Bowie, you've got classic rock, pop, you name it. So, you know, when did you just hear a tune and go, oh, I like that, I want to do that?
Good, or
are you...
That's it.
That's
good and bad. There's good and bad. I like it. I don't like it.
Well, and apparently, because you wouldn't wipe anybody out, the list was too long. There's a lot you don't.
There's a lot of terrible stuff. That's the problem. Is there's so much terrible stuff. How do I pick just one? Yeah.
So who's your like go to radio changer that you're like, oh nope, and you've got to change it?
You know what? I couldn't even tell you the name of them because like if I'm just surfing on the in my car, if I just hear it in about 2 days, I go nope. No. It's one of those, like, I wouldn't spend enough time to find out what it is I hate.
Nice, yeah.
I just know that I hate it.
That's fair.
You know,
I
it's
can't
like food.
Say who mine are because we're live and, like, we might book them someday.
Who's that?
No, I can't say.
Oh, okay. Oh, I got you. I understand.
It won't end well.
Yeah. Conflict of interest.
It's a career limiting move, I think.
A career limiting move. That's entirely true.
Yeah, what I say goes, and what
You can say whatever you want.
You can say, yeah, go to
good.
Town.
I'm
go
used to that.
So talking careers, so you have actually become a bit of a staple in this kind of Halton-Burlington region. When I think it was 2 days ago, we posted on our social media, we're going to be here tonight with you.
Yeah.
The very first comment came within seconds, and it said, Chris Chamber is next level.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Who put that?
I don't know. I think
the bribes are working.
It was like your mom, or I'm not.
Yeah. That's probably. Yeah.
Did you pay for that?
I must have.
Did you pay for that? Yeah, well, it was a boost.
Whoever it was, thank you.
No, I think that's a great point, and really can't be understated. The music scene is pretty vibrant in Hamilton, Burlington, the Halton area, and there are some local artists in this area that are really well known. And I think you have a bit of a following. You draw a crowd. You're like, oh, Chris is playing, I'm going.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. I hope so. I hope. I mean, all these people are already here.
They all came for you.
They came for you.
Although, and I can demonstrate that because as you stop playing, a bunch of them left. So they're like, oh, he must be done. That's what we're going to go with. Anyway.
All right, I'll take it. Thank you.
So I'm curious as well, through my cyber stalking, you know, you had a lot of kind of titles that I think are worth talking about. So like I said, musician, producer, collaborator. You've got a lot of collaborations under your belt. You tend to work with a lot of different musicians.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Yeah.
So
you have to.
I'm curious because I've known some musicians who tend to get very sort of territorial about their music and their domain, and this is me. And there are some that are not open to collaboration. And you know, I'm kind of wondering, tell us a bit about your experience in collaborating.
I'm just riding coattails. That's all it is.
Sure,
it's just a cheap attempt to further my own career.
I love it.
On the backs of others.
I love it. So who have you collaborated with? What are some pieces?
Okay, one of my favorites, I'll give her a shameless plug right now, is Lauren Campbell. She's a friend of mine.
Yeah, yeah.
And she actually, can I plug her store?
100%.
She has a store on John Street called The Witch's Fix. Go there. But Lauren is one of my absolute favorite songwriters. She's very special.
Nice.
She's a very, and we used to get together prior to her having the store. We used to get together once a week and write, and we work in two very different ways. She's very, sort of traditional. Let's sit and work this out. She's, whereas I'll do that. That's good, bad. Nah, let's do that. Like I work a lot more, production line, I guess, for lack of a better term. Or just, I don't know. I map out ideas a little different than her,
yeah.
I think, but she's one of my absolute favorite songwriters. But here's a story. We would sit and toil away at something for a couple hours on a Tuesday. We'd always get together on Tuesdays. And we come up with something, we're like, that's pretty good. You know, after a couple hours of working together, that's pretty good. And then later in the night, I would get a voice memo recording she did on her phone. She's like, oh, by the way, I went home and I wrote this. And I would be like, ah, oh, and I would throw my phone across the room. But she's one of my favorite. And we don't do it much anymore because life, you know, things happen.
Sure.
But she's a favorite of mine. I mentioned again Tim Tickner, who was an old school jingle writer back in the day. He's taken me under his wing. We've become really fast friends a couple of years ago, and I've learned so much from him. But he and I do some stuff where he does like live DJing stuff, and I play guitar on it. Cool. So it's just different. And I mean, those two people musically, and even just by virtue of who they are, like, could not be further apart in a lot of ways. So for me to just go and get to work with them on it, like, that, I mean, that's priceless to me, right? Yes. There's no amount of schooling that can get you that of, like, all right, here's a guy that's done it, and here's somebody that can do things. I wish I could go home and crank out, you know, songs that I like in an hour or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't know, there's something to be learned. I always think of myself as a student learning, right? Like, I almost refuse to accept any kind of role of anybody that knows anything. You know what I mean? Like, you know, let me get long-winded here. I apologize.
It's okay. We will edit all this out.
I'm hit it good.
For anybody who's listening live.
Are there people actually watching or no?
We were up to about 20, but it got really loud in here.
I started talking and they
dropped
left.
Down to 5. So.
Okay, so... So I will say I've hit an age, unfortunately, for better or worse, where I'm having younger people ask me things that I used to ask.
Right.
And it's a bit of a rub for me because I'm still asking the older guys, what about that? So I don't know that I've fully adjusted to any kind of role, whether I want it or not, of anything, you know. An older guy, like, to mentor anybody, really. Like,
sure.
I've had lots of my friend there that you saw me chatting with in the middle of the song, I taught his son years ago, and his son has gone on to do great things musically, but I taught him when he was a kid, right?
So, to me,
he'll always be a kid, I guess, but it'd be weird. I still feel like I'm 15. I think that's the problem. I still act like an idiot teenager. And so it's hard, like, sometimes for me to, but I've been actively trying to accept the role of, like, sometimes a 20-year-old is going to ask me, how do you go book a bar gig?
Yeah.
Or whatever it may be. Or how do you play this scale? Or whatever it is.
And how do you go book a bar gig?
Oh, I'm not telling you. but that's kind of been a new thing for me, is like going, what do I tell? Do I tell them anything?
Yeah.
Do I let them figure it out? You know what I mean? It's a weird spot to be in currently for me, just as far as age versus experience. And it's like, to be honest, most of them I just say, go do literally anything else,
because
there's no money left.
There's no money left. Says the guy who plays 2 gigs a night
night. Well, that's my money is what I'm saying.
Right,
it's not theirs.
Understood. Now, the other piece is you've done a lot of kind of session musician work.
Yeah.
So is that similar? Do you do that for that kind of learning experience?
Well, it's great. It's great. But, you know, that stuff's not even happening as much as it. There was a time when I did a lot more of it. I get called to do little cool recording sessions here and there. And I had a lot of fun. I still love doing it.
Yeah.
So please call.
That's 1-800.
Yeah.
You can make a plea right now.
Yeah.
But it's cool. It's a lot more relaxed. Only because, and I know a lot of people get intimidated by the record light.
Yeah.
But for me, it's like, it's way lighter because it's like, it's not my name on it.
Right.
So it's a lot easier to go, oh, you didn't like that? How about that? Like, I find a lot of times, let's try this.
Yeah.
You know? And so with my own stuff, I'll toil over it a lot longer. You know, when a session's done or whatever.
Pardon me.
I go home.
Yeah. Yeah, you get to just turn it off and walk away.
Kind of, yeah, very much.
That's nice.
So,
well, you probably have another set you got to get up there.
Probably, yeah. You're probably right. I got
some
time.
Those of you tuned in live, if you got a ton of background noise, we apologize. We're doing the best we can. We're live down here at Emma's back porch, recording a Sound of Music session. We are joined today by none other than the man, the legend, the myth.
Don't.
Chris Chambers. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it a lot.
Thank you for having us. Thanks.
Yeah,
this is fun.
So we'll probably leave some mics on, and we're going to record a couple of tunes that Chris is going to do and throw them up on the podcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. There will be, of course, some more, but we're going to stop right here and come back to it a little later on. Thanks so much, everybody. Thank you, Chris.
Cool, thanks.
And go give it hell.
I will.
All right, cheers.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Coming at you live from Emma's back porch, we are joined here tonight by Mr. Chris Chambers. Take it away, buddy.
All the snow has turned to water. The Christmas days have come and gone. Broken toys, faded colors are all that's left to linger on. I hate graveyards and old pawn shops, 'cause they always bring me tears. I can't forgive the way they rob me of my childhood souvenirs. Memories can't be bought, they can't be won, carnivals are free. It took me years to get those souvenirs, and I don't know how they slipped away from me. Difficult to see. That's why last night and this morning always look the same to me. And I ain't reading no love letters, because they always bring me tears. I can't forgive the way they rob me of my sweetheart's souvenirs. Memories that can't be bought, they can't be won, carnivals for free. It took me years to get those souvenirs, and I don't know how they slipped away from me.
John Prine song for Sarah. Between us, no, they won't win.
suggestions are causing me suspicion, but there's no proof. In the paper today, tis a war in a rage, but you turn right over to the TV page.
Live at Emma's Back Porch on a great Friday night. You can catch Chris all over town. Check him out at chrischambers.com and Facebook, Instagram, all those fun things. Thanks so much, Chris. That was amazing.
All right, that was our interview with Chris Chambers at Emma's Back Porch. Thank you again to Emma's for having us out there. That was a fun night.
He was actually a lot of fun to chat with. You know, a guy who, again, humble, local, yeah, local roots, Hamilton guy, plays around Hamilton, Burlington, all kinds of club and bar gigs, and collaborates with everybody. But, you know, you can't underestimate the talent. That guy can hold up with anybody. The thing that blew me away about him that night was his guitar playing. Like, that guy has got some chops.
Absolutely. Yeah. He holds a room, that's for sure. And what's cool is he's very engaging when he's up there. So it's not, you go to those pub gigs and some musicians, they're just sort of a prop in the corner. They're sitting on a stool. They're kind of quiet to themselves. They do a few songs. You really don't even realize you're listening to live music.
Yeah.
Where Chris holds the room. He's fun. He's engaging. He's telling stories and jokes and chatting with the staff, and like it was all around. It was a fun night. Like I really enjoyed sitting there with him. The tunes he played for us were amazing. Everything about it was great. And you know, Emma's is always a good locale here in town. It's a great place to check out live music. Food's always good.
Yeah, big shout out to Craig and Andrea at Emma's and Water Street Cooker. You know, they're always great hosts. Every time we're there, we love working with them, and we really appreciate the opportunity to have the platform coming live from Emma's.
Absolutely. And you can keep listening to Psalm Sessions, because we will likely be doing a couple more of those as the days go on. I gotta say, like, we don't get to talk about our own success all that often, but we've got some pretty cool things coming up for both the podcast as well as the podcast. You're gonna have to start looking at our ugly faces soon, because in partnership with Kojiko, we're pretty excited. Kojiko and Long and McQuaid Burlington. The Sound of Music Sessions TV show we're going to start filming pretty soon. That's going
to
be fun.
Yeah, well, you know, I think both of us subscribe to the philosophy that we never met a microphone we didn't like.
Correct.
And any chance to get out and do something with community partners,
yeah,
and be out there. But also, again, have a chance to chat with local musicians and people in the industry, yeah. And we learn a ton along the way, and we have a lot of fun. And you know, it really is just about meeting as many people as we possibly can.
It seems there's quite a few things going on in the world of music right now. Everyone is getting back out on the road.
Yeah, I don't know if this is aligned because it's 2020. It's a new decade. It's a I don't know.
I don't know.
I think there's a lot of anniversaries that are hitting of, you know, some of the old classic bands we all listen to in our, I shouldn't say we all listen to, some of us listen to in our teens. It just sort of seems like 2020 is like the year of the big blockbuster stadium
it
tours.
It really is. So Brent was making fun of me because of my typing skills and our little cheat notes here. I misspelled Def Leppard.
Yeah. We know who you meant.
We know who I spelled it like the cat.
Leopard.
Like Leo. That's how you spell a leopard. Anyway, Motley Crue, Def Leppard are going out on the road with they're with Poison. Yeah,
Poison and Joan Jett.
And Joan Jett. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. See, like that would be a great show. It really would.
Yep. Guns N' Roses is a new one that was just announced in the last week or so, I guess. So they've got, I think, Toronto in July is their only Canadian stop. Yeah, that's actually at Rogers Centre Sky Dome.
I've never been a huge GNR fan. Like, there's a lot of those ones that I feel like we're all kind of programmed to say I love them. GNR, the Beatles, AC/DC. I don't love them.
Yeah, I would say I'm a fan from afar. I have seen them once live before, actually. When Cops Coliseum was called Cops Coliseum, now First Ontario Center, they played, and it was everything that you would expect from a Guns N' Roses show in that era. You know, Axl Rose was, you know, probably holed up in his bus refusing to come on stage. So, you know, they came out 30 minutes after they were supposed to. There were some wildly inappropriate things throughout the concert done on stage.
Of course.
And then at one point, I don't know if someone tossed a water bottle up on stage or something that, I mean, obviously no one should ever do. It's just dumb right from the start. But somebody did that, and it was the classic Axl Rose where he literally, like, slammed his microphone on the stage and stormed off, and the show was over.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's absolutely amazing.
I legit saw that.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big memory. Yep. Rage Against the Machine just announced that they're going out. And this is one actually kind of goes into what I want to chat about. So Tom Morello has been taking a very active stance on their ticket prices. He's been out there trying to say, like, you know, it is what it is. It's 2020. This is what tickets cost. So Rage tickets, you know, for decent seats, that you're looking at about $500 a ticket.
Yeah, I saw someone yesterday on Facebook posting a little screen capture of their computer screen when they were searching for tickets, and there were like 300 level tickets in this arena that were $400+.
Yeah.
And you know, people are just doing like the shoulder shrug and going, "Well, I guess I'm not going to see this one."
Yeah, and it bothers me because I feel like inflation around tickets is getting so extreme that music is becoming less accessible to people.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, I believe in the value of an artist you know, their craft and protecting, you know, their talent and it commands a price. There's no question, but it just seems like, I don't know if it's the Ticketmaster fees piled on top of that, you know, some scalper activity happening, you know, it just, layers and layers and layers, and before you know it, it's out of sight for most people to afford.
It really is. I was looking at some shows I'd like to go to this summer, and I mean, you know, I kind of make the wish list and whittle it down to the ones I'm actually going to do. If I went to all the ones on the wish list, it would, you know, I'd be dropping $10,000 over the summer. Like,
yeah,
it's
it is a long list. I am going to see Sammy.
You are going, eh?
Yeah, I'm going. Yeah, I'm going in August, a little amphitheater outside of Pittsburgh.
Nice.
And we have actually third row center seats. Whitesnake and Night Ranger on the bill,
nice.
Too. I am not going to share how much those tickets cost because my wife is probably listening.
Yeah, and but you know what? You have three kids, and they don't all need to go to university.
Well, I mean, groceries or Sammy.
Yeah.
I mean, take your
that's
pick.
Fair. That's right? Totally fair. Yeah. I would personally choose food, but that's just me. I'm excited a little closer to home and not nearly as big as Sammy, but he is my Sammy. I just found out today Alter Bridge with Miles Kennedy.
Is it because you have the same name?
It might be. And he spells it with a Y. So that might be the only reason. Yeah. I love Miles Kennedy. I think he is a phenomenal singer, guitar player, producer, musician. Yeah. I think he's amazing.
Yeah. Only seen him once, actually, with, what is it? It's Slash with Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators.
Yeah, and the Conspirators.
That was at Hamilton Place about 5 years ago. And, you know, again, pretty small theater. Like, I don't know what the capacity is. Hamilton Place, maybe 1,500, like that. 2,000 people, maybe. And it was absolutely incredible. He's amazing. He's a talent.
He was in the movie Rockstar with Mark Wahlberg. Mark Wahlberg.
I did not know that.
Yeah, at the it's a great. I love that movie. Love that movie. So at the beginning, Mark Wahlberg's character is found as the guy. He's like right against the stage, and he belts out the high note, and the singer pulls him up.
Yep.
At the end of the movie, the same scene takes place with Mark up on stage.
Yeah.
And the guy in the crowd screams, and Mark pulls him up. That is Miles Kennedy.
I did not know that.
You betcha.
I know that scene, and I know that movie well, but I did not know that.
Yep. So I've seen Alter Bridge a few times, and they do an amazing show. So they are going to be playing with Blackstone Cherry, that I also love, and Saint Asonia.
Nice.
Saint Asonia being the former lead singer of 3 Days Grace.
Yeah, and this is Casinorama.
Casinorama.
That's actually a pretty good venue. I've seen a number of shows there. It's a good spot.
Well, and I'm getting old, so I don't like going to the things where I'm just going to get bashed around in a mosh pit.
Now
I get to sit in my comfy seat with my beer in my hand.
Yeah,
and
you want your seat.
Watch Miles sing to me and me alone.
You'll probably stand up, but you'll have a seat.
True.
Yeah.
One of my prized possessions is I have a drum skin autographed by all of Alter Bridge, and I love it.
I don't. I'm air drumming right now.
You are air drumming. Good for you.
Yeah.
Sad news in the musical world, and I mean, this is kind of old news now, but Neil Peart of Rush is no longer with us. Cancer.
Yeah, I think that caught everybody by surprise, and when the news actually broke, it was about 3 days after he had actually passed away. So, I mean, you just imagine what was going on behind the scenes and you know, thinking about his old bandmates. Those guys were like brothers for 40 years.
Yeah, and Neil was a very private guy. And I'm not a big music doc fan, but Beyond the Lighted Stage, the Rush documentary, it might be the best one I have ever seen. Hmm. And it really digs into Neil and how, you know, the concerts would end and Neil would just to the bus. And Getty's talking about how fans always thought, like, well, he doesn't appreciate the fans and he's a bit of a jerk. But the reality was he was just a very private guy. And as he himself says in the documentary, he just had a really hard time engaging with his fans. And it doesn't mean that he didn't appreciate them or love them, but it was a lot of anxiety for him to deal with. So he was a very private, personal man. I don't think people even really knew he was sick.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. It probably caught a lot of people off guard. And I mean, you think about the fan base for Rush, those loyal followers of that band. I mean, those guys, like, they're truly up there as one of the iconic bands of all time.
Yeah, oh yeah. I loved it. Actually, I'm probably misquoting this. It might have been Tom Morello who said it, or somebody. Right as Neil Peart died, there was this meme that was going around that said, that Neil would be up there smiling right now because every band on earth is currently trying to find an easy Rush song.
That's very true. You're playing in the bar tonight and you're going to cover Rush.
Good luck.
It's funny you mention Tom Morello again. It's funny and frightening that you and I are so sometimes with the news of his death breaking. Obviously, you know, there's all over
Neil, not Tom.
Neil, yeah, Neil. Sorry, yeah, Tom is still very much with us and fighting about ticket prices.
Yes,
all kinds of video clips, you know, start emerging on the internet and social media, and you see things on TV. And I watched a clip of when Rush was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Mm, yes,
and obviously they got a massive standing ovation, but before anybody else had risen out of their seat to start applauding when they were announced, whoever it was that presented them. And then after all those other people sat down, there was one guy that was standing up in the crowd and the camera zoomed in on him, and it was Tom Morello. He was giving like the biggest standing O for Rush. So I thought that was
cool.
Pretty cool. And I mean, again, you know, these guys are Lakeside Park and
oh yeah,
you know that they're in our hood there. They're like
Canadiana.
They're our neighbors.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's one last thing I want to really talk about here. Have you heard this Aussie Elton song? Have you heard it?
Yes.
It confuses me in ways that I don't know how to. Aussie, another one. Sad news. Recently diagnosed with Parkinson's disease.
Yep.
Well, I guess he was diagnosed a year ago, but it's recently come out that he has Parkinson's disease. But Aussie just always sounds like Aussie. Period. Like it's every Aussie song sounds like an Aussie song.
Yeah.
And Elton John, every Elton John is Elton John, and you put the two of them together. It is the oddest pairing I have ever heard.
Like, yeah, it's funny. I would say, to your point, it's not really like Ozzy and Elton doing a song together.
Yeah.
It's like Ozzy
yeah.
and Elton.
And it's like two songs put together. Yeah. I don't even think they sing together at any point. I don't even know if they knew
were
they were
doing it. Were they in the
same room? Yeah, it is a very odd song. But I love to see the genres colliding.
Now those mashups,
you know, that
are
is
cool.
Yeah, yeah, cool. So I like that. But I mean, otherwise, like it's gonna be a good summer for music. That's really, really shaping up.
Yeah, you know, I think in some ways it's kind of a good problem to have, right? You know, you have these summers that are really thin. You're
yeah.
like, and there's really nothing I want to see. Now it's like, wow, there's so much choice. My biggest challenge is how do I actually
yeah.
choose what I'm gonna go to.
So let's end on that note. Is I don't know how much you've been looking ahead, but. Do you have like your top three that you would love to get to this summer?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Are you going to share them with
us
or no?
Oh, you want to know?
He just stared at me like, I mean, this is like radio. So yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay. People can't see the hand gestures.
No.
Get it?
No.
Yeah. I mean, clearly top of my list is my man, Sammy, which I am going to.
Yeah. No one saw that coming.
Probably the next two after that, I would say, would be the Crew Def Leppard Poison thing.
That would be cool. Yeah.
And then the third one for me might surprise you a little bit.
Justin Bieber.
No. It would be Rod Stewart.
Rod Stewart?
Yeah.
That'd be a good show.
Yeah, Rod Stewart is at
Bud
Stage
this
summer. And I've only seen him once before, probably a decade or more ago.
Nice.
And it was a lot of fun.
That would be a good one.
Yeah.
That would be a good one.
You?
No, I'm looking. So my Alter Bridge show, I'm pretty excited about that. I've got tickets. I'm going to go check out Disturbed, Stained, and Bad Wolves.
Ah, yeah, cool.
Disturbed is doing their 25th anniversary of The Sickness. They're going to play that album in its entirety. I've seen them, I think, three times. It's always a good show. And you know what? Again, sort of shifting gears, I would love to get to David Gray.
Yeah.
There's a bit of nostalgia there for me when my wife and I were dating. You know, 15 years ago, we used to drive around the countryside.
You two are so cute.
Aren't we? We would drive around the countryside listening to David Gray and Five for Fighting. And he is going to be playing Bud Stage. So I'd like to get to that one.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
That about takes us to all the time we have. Once again, we want to thank our guest, Chris Chambers, for joining us. We want to thank Emma's Back Porch for having us. And we want to thank you for listening.
Yeah, I want to give one last quick shout out, and that is we've got a brand new soundofmusic.ca website that's live.
Yes, we do.
And one piece I really want to highlight there, you know, we're yet to announce our free festival lineup that's coming in March. But we really want to talk about the opportunity to volunteer with the festival and join our team.
Yeah.
Lend your expertise, come and have a lot of fun. We've got a great group of people, and this is an event that you know, really absolutely relies on our dedicated volunteer roster every year.
Absolutely.
And so we would love to have some folks come and join us and have some fun.
Absolutely. So go check out the new website at soundofmusic.ca and, of course, liveonthelake.ca. And ladies and gentlemen, that is all the time we have. I didn't get to play this song, so I'm doing it now.
I'm going to the beach.
I'm going to, yes, Brent's going on vacation. We will be back with a special guest, Ben Kaplan, and our next podcast. Thank you all so much for listening. We will see you next time.